Hello, this is Alonzo Bowden. I would like to welcome you to episode 76 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Well, we got to get right to it because you are listening to a Clipper fan, and this has been one hell of a week. Let me tell you something. There's no spring in L.A. It goes from cold to hot. Saturday, it was 60 degrees. Today, it was 95. And the heat was caused by Donald Sterling's ass is on fire. Listen, in case you've been under a rock or a tree or... Now, even then, even people under rocks got the news. I'll tell you what happened with me. Saturday morning, I get a text from a friend in Boston saying, did you hear about Donald Sterling? And it was early. It was about 7:38 in the morning. I wasn't even awake yet. And I was like, no, I didn't hear. And then they sent me a link to the recording. And by now, you've probably heard it. Donald Sterling started on this rant with his girlfriend, V. Stiviano. And we don't know. I don't know what the V is. I've read it's Vivian. I've read it's Vanessa. I heard she's 23. I've heard she's 31. I don't know anything about this woman. But basically, she had been recording Donald Sterling. And Donald Sterling was mad at her for posing in a picture with Magic Johnson. And why do you associate with black people? You're a good Latina. You don't have to be around those people. You can associate with them in private. You can sleep with them, but you shouldn't be bragging about it in public. Blah, 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 on and on and on. Don't bring them to my games. Don't want black people at an NBA basketball game. Might have never looked at the court. But anyway, so I get all this, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to think. I wasn't sure how I felt about it. It was sick. And I was angry. I was angry because he was ruining being a Clipper fan. Like, I support the team. I support the players. He ruined it. And my initial response, like everybody else's, was anger and, like I say, confusion. And ESPN picked up the story later in the day, then CNN and everybody else, and it's been news ever since. And this was what I wrote on Sunday when I figured out how I felt. This is my post. Some of you may have read it on my Facebook or Twitter page. I said, I've decided I'll keep supporting the Clippers. Since Sterling doesn't want to see me, I'll be there. A boycott won't hurt a billionaire, but apparently black faces will piss him off. His kind didn't want to see us in baseball, so Jackie Robinson showed up. They didn't want us in the front of the bus, so Rosa Parks showed up. They didn't want us in the schools or at lunch counters, so Martin Luther King showed up. And they didn't want us in the White House, so Barack Obama showed up. Now you don't want us at a basketball game? Well, we're showing up. And we're black, we're white, we're brown, we're yellow, whatever we are, we're showing up together. The Clippers are our team, not yours. F you, Donald Sterling. It's time you learn Mad Men is the past, not the future. And I close it with a thing, we'll show up until you leave. And that was how I felt, that I was going to support the Clippers as a team. I was going to support the players and the coach. It had nothing to do with the owner. And I didn't know what was going to happen. This was on Sunday. And the next day, they had a game that day in Oakland against Golden State. No one knew it was going to happen. And the players protested by pulling their warm-ups off and having their warm-up shirts on inside out. And they threw their warm-ups on the floor in the middle. And it was a weak protest, but it was like they didn't know what to do. And I get that for a lot of reasons. Doc Rivers, the coach, spoke and said, listen, there's no right or wrong in reacting to this. This is new territory. Nobody knows what to do. Now, during this time, all the stories were coming out that this is not new with Donald Sterling. He was known to be a racist for comments going back to the 80s, you know, asking a front office guy about who's going to coach the, you know, can he coach these niggers? And walking girlfriends through the locker room saying, look at these big black bodies. And just, you know, I'm not going to go through the laundry list. It was, they knew who he was. The NBA knew who he was. And David Stern knew who he was. But nothing was ever done. And he's been involved in lawsuits, settlement of one of the largest, if not the largest ever, discrimination, housing discrimination lawsuit, because Sterling has made his billions in real estate. And he, you know, he is who he is. And people knew about it, but the NBA didn't do anything about it, maybe couldn't do anything about it. But now this came out, and the big question is what's going to happen. Now, that was on Sunday. They played the game, and the Clippers lost. Monday, the NBA on Sunday said that the statement will be made on Tuesday. Monday was a mess. A lot of media coverage, a lot of people weighing in, everyone from like Charles Barkley, who said that, you know, pretty much what I said, that it's not a Clipper issue, that the Clippers are still a team, but this owner's a bad guy and the NBA has to get rid of him. LeBron saying there's no room for Donald Sterling in the NBA. And I think players were getting angrier. I think as time passed, the feeling was players were getting angrier. Everyone's waiting to see what the NBA is going to say. Well, Tuesday morning, Adam Silver, the new commissioner of the NBA, came down hard. It was absolutely what was necessary. Adam Silver came out and said that Donald Sterling is suspended from basketball forever, meaning he can't go to games, he can't go to team meetings, he can't be involved in team decisions on contracts, trades, player personnel, etc. The fine was $2.5 million because that was the most he was allowed to fine him. And he said the other owners will be getting together and figuring out how to force Donald Sterling to sell the team. I was surprised, happy, but absolutely surprised that he came down this hard, because so often these things are swept under the rug. So often these things are, you know, sort of punished, but no, this was hardcore, and this man is angry, angry. The sponsors, major Clipper sponsors like Kia Motors and State Farm and Virgin Atlantic Airlines and so all pulled out. None of them want anything to do with Sterling. And, you know, money talks, players wait, the fans, everything. This was what was necessary. That was Tuesday morning. They were geared up for a protest. I went to the game at the Staples Center, and I got to tell you, the energy was fantastic. But I've never, you know, they had a bunch of news trucks out there. Of course, Jesse Jackson said he was going to lead a march, and Al Sharpton said, listen, stop it with those two, all right? They're not the voice of black people anymore. They're just not. So, but they got the coverage. They said what they had to say. The weirdest and at the same time funniest thing to me was going to Staples Center, seeing the cops on horseback, and the horses had face shields. Now, I've seen brothers angry before, but I had never seen a brother so angry he attempted to punch a horse in the face. That's the kind of anger they were prepared for, but it wasn't there. What was there, what was mountainous support for the Clippers. Staples Center, packed. Outside at Staples Center is an area called LA Live. For those who don't know or haven't seen it, it's a bunch of restaurants and bars. There's another theater and clubs and a big outdoor like square, packed. Everybody was there for the Clippers. Not for Donald Sterling's Clippers, but for the Clippers, for the team. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. The energy when they introduced that team, I've probably been to a dozen games this season. Nothing's ever come close to that kind of energy. It was beautiful. And the team won. They won. They had to win. It was a great game. It was a great night. It was a great day for basketball. It was a great day for LA. It was a great day for equality and fairness and intelligence, speaking to closed-minded ignorance and saying, you're done. you're not welcome here anymore. And you know, when I use Mad Men, I want to make this clear. I love that show. That show's a great drama, but that show took place in a time when the white male was king. There were, you know, and it's a topic in the show. They deal with race and civil rights, etc. And it's unfortunate how our society is moving back toward that rather than forward away from that. But this was one day where the right decision was made. The right people stepped up. Adam Silver, I can't give him enough kudos for what he did. The other NBA owners, they don't want to be associated with Donald Sterling. Mark Cuban has been, I hate using the language just because of my podcast, but Mark Cuban's being an asshole. And he's like, well, this is a slippery slope. And, you know, if you get in trouble as an owner for what you think, you know something, this isn't the same as the owner of the Orlando Magic giving some money to an organization to vote against gay marriage. That's a political move that he's interested in. This isn't, if like, just, you know, I don't know, he's worried about being an owner and having the wrong views. This isn't the wrong views. This is outright, I consider a race of people beneath me. I consider a race of people not as good as everyone else. I'm sorry, Mark Cuban, but it's not the same. And if you're worried about that, maybe we should be looking at you. Mark Cuban's not a bad guy, but he's an asshole on this one, and he's afraid, and he needed to step up with the other owners. But they've got a committee. They're going to try to force him out. My personal view is this is a special club, ladies and gentlemen. Owning a sports franchise, I would guess everyone in America who owns a sports franchise knows each other. And I'm talking about across all sports, because this is truly a billionaires club. They know each other, and they do not want the stain of Donald Sterling on them. So I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know how they roll in that world. I don't know how you apply pressure in that world. It's not financial. Like I said, a boycott, that doesn't affect you when you're a billionaire. But whatever they do, I got a strong feeling they're going to get together and do it to Donald Sterling to get him out. In a perfect world, the justice would be Magic Johnson and his group buying that team. Difficult. Magic is the Lakers. Let's face it. Magic was the face of the Lakers, and he was Showtime and 5 championships. For him to buy the Clippers, the other L.A. team, the better L.A. team, Laker fans, don't know if it'll happen, but it's business. And Magic don't mess around when it comes to business. It could happen. Rumor of Oprah and David Geffen and another group buying the team. Not so sure I want that. Don't need Oprah owning an NBA team. I don't want to hear about Blake Griffin's feelings. You understand? Just me. Floyd Money Mayweather wants to buy the team. Has a little bit better chance than I do. It's going to take more than money, Floyd. I don't think you're welcome in that club. But who knows? Who knows who's going to own the Clippers next year? Who knows what's going to happen? I predict the Clippers to win this playoff series because I'm a fan and I hope they win this playoff series. And you know, the playoffs are on. Basketball is on. People are watching. A friend of mine, Steve Marmel, who you should follow on Twitter and Facebook, Marmel, he's the one who created the meme of my what I wrote as a Clipper fan and got thousands of, you know, comments for me. But anyway, he said something that I hadn't thought of. He said this scandal made the Clippers LA's team. Not LA's first team, which will probably always be the Lakers, but there's always been a thing with the Clippers here in LA that they've been the stepchild. They've, you know, why don't you move the team to Anaheim or somewhere else? LA embraced the team this weekend. These are the LA Clippers, and I'm happy, and I love it. So tough road, but we're moving forward. Now, the players in the game, we know Donald Sterling is a lowlife. There's no doubt for that. A lot of people going after V, okay? I shouldn't say a lot of people. Some people going after V. Listen, you got the right enemies. Trump is mad at you. You probably did something right. Rush Limbaugh, of course, says that this all happened to Donald Sterling because he didn't give enough money to Barack Obama. It's almost beautiful how Rush Limbaugh's entire life is centered around Barack Obama. God bless him. But anyway, that's what he said. Ms. Stiviano is being sued. And this whole family, this whole thing is like some weird reality show that makes the Kardashians look like a nice, normal family. Donald Sterling's 81 years old. His wife, who I don't know how old is, younger than him, but older than his mistress, is suing Ms. Stiviano, who's his mistress, because Donald Sterling gave Stiviano a Ferrari, two Bentleys, a $1.8 million condo, and $240,000 in living expenses. Listen, you're a billionaire. She's your gold digger. Like, this is how this works. You understand? This is how this relationship works. You're young, might be 20-something, might be 30-something. I'm going to go with 31. Of all the numbers I've seen and looked at, I'll go with 31. You're 31, she's 81. You're a billionaire, she's hot. You give her stuff. When you're a billionaire, giving away Ferraris and Bentleys really isn't that expensive. Okay, not like he's making payments on them. So you give a gold digger money, and apparently what happened is your wife's lawsuit threatened the gold digger's gold, and she said she was going to get you back, and she did. And to paraphrase a great joke from our friend Roy Wood, who I love, Roy said, listen, a lot of times you make your jump off mad, she'll key your car. This one keyed your sports franchise. Hilarious. Follow Roy Wood. Do yourself a favor. The man's hilarious. So I don't know who's going to buy the team. I don't know what's going to happen with the Clippers. But so far, the collective exhale, the no protest, the NBA doing the right thing, fantastic. It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing that it happened. But it was handled well, and I have the utmost respect for all parties involved. And thank God the NBA players are saying that their protest was going to be to walk on the court, and when the ball was thrown up for the opening tip, to walk off the court, and that was going to be Golden State and the Clippers at that playoff game, and then every other team do it at their playoff game, man. That would have been horrible. It would have been a mess. So thank God it didn't happen. Let's see how this plays out. I'm still a Clipper fan. You're a Clipper fan. I know you are. Welcome. DeAndre Jordan's playing like a monster. What a game the other night. Yeah. It was great. So we're good. And a friend of mine who's a diehard Laker fan said, hey, Clippers won a playoff game. The Kings, somehow, LA Kings hockey team somehow came back and won four in a row against the San Jose Sharks. And he's happy Mike D'Antoni's out as a Laker coach. He said, this is a great day in LA sports. So maybe it is. All right, that's it for the Clipper story. What else is going on? Cliven Bundy, our crazy Nevada rancher, is done. You probably heard his little rant about the lazy Negroes aborting babies and putting their kids in jail and living off the government money. All said while his cattle were grazing off government land and his family's living off government money. How do you have 14 kids and jump on people about babies? I don't know. Anyway, he's done. Because once that, it was so funny. It was literally like an old Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote cartoon. When he came out with his racist rant against Negroes, who should probably still be picking cotton, that's what he said, all of his right-wing supporters, Fox News, Sean Hannity, Rand Paul, ran so fast. You remember cartoons how there was just a puff of smoke? Like there was, they were there 1 second, then a puff of smoke, and they were gone. There were puffs of smoke all around Bundy. He was standing there alone, looking to sit next to Donald Sterling put him in the same boat. Absolute idiot. And paraphrasing Barack Obama, if you allow ignorant people to talk long enough, they will show who they are. And you don't have to help them. And he didn't need any help. He did it. All right, let's stay on. Well, okay, I'm not going to say stay on the topic of ignorance. I will say let's stay unreasonable. The NRA was having their big national convention in Indianapolis, and drew tens of thousands of people. Speakers such as Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal. Now, does Bobby understand that if NRA members saw him walking through their backyard, they're going to unload a clip on him? I don't know. Mario Rubio was there. Oliver North was there. And, of course, Sarah Palin, who I will talk about, you know, itself. So, meanwhile, there was another protest going on, financed by Mayor Bloomberg, and the NRA said the NRA is not intimidated by a multi-million-dollar gun control campaign, you know, and protest. Well, of course they're not. Listen, the NRA can't be affected with logic and reason and common sense. You think a protest is going to help? They all have their guns. They're playing with them. They're having their fun. So, and again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm not anti-gun. I'm anti-gun nut. Okay, and there's a difference. The gun hunters use guns. Collectors use guns. Target shooters use guns. Gun nuts go out to a ranch in Nevada and say that if the government comes in here, we're going to start shooting. But first, we're going to put our women and children in front of us because we true patriots. So that was the NRA. They're having their convention. They will not be intimidated by protests. And then they had their keynote speaker. You know her, you love her. You can't live without her. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Palin was at it again. Sarah Palin said during her big speech at the NRA convention, if I were in charge, well, we could pretty much stop right there. Because if she was in charge, that means the world had ended 10 minutes earlier. She said if she was in charge, she was talking to terrorists. Let's see, how do I put this? Okay, Sarah Palin said, if I were in charge, anyone who might have knowledge of terrorist plots could and would be waterboarded. That's right. She said they obviously have information on plots to carry out jihad. I wonder if she knows a jihad is a plot. She probably thinks it's a small Arab child. She said to a cheering crowd of NRA members, oh, but you can't offend them. You can't make them feel uncomfortable, just even a smidgen. Well, if I were in charge, they'd know that waterboarding is how we baptize terrorists. It's always good when you bring in baptism, religion, and Jesus to torturing terrorists, right? Those go together. It's what Jesus would have done, isn't it, Sarah? You know, here's a great thing about Sarah Palin. Consistent. Sarah Palin, I've said it before, not dumb, knows how to manipulate the media. That's why I'm reading this story. Knows how to appeal to the lowest common denominator and the least intelligent of her base. And she still got it. And she's done it again. And Sarah Palin is not dangerous. Sarah Palin is an annoying background noise. Now, let me tell you what is dangerous. The Roberts Supreme Court. Because their feigned ignorance and the power they wield as a Supreme Court is an embarrassment to this country, is moving this country backwards every time they make a decision, and is inexcusable. And they backed up Michigan on doing away with affirmative action. And again, this is one of those backward racism things, and this is what Roberts wrote. The way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. Now, we all know that if things were perfectly equal, that statement would be true. But what he's doing is he's taking a law designed to protect minorities from discrimination and somehow saying he's protecting the majority, the white people in power from discrimination. And Justice Sotomayor, who, if you remember, they didn't want her on because of her views, because she said, yeah, I know more about being a minority and discrimination than you rich white men. And they were like, hey, that's not nice. You shouldn't say that. So she told the truth. And listen, this is not even being biased. This is the thing. What Robert said is it's an embarrassing statement because it's pretending to be ignorant. He's smarter than that. And he knows what's behind affirmative action. And so his statement is embarrassing. And she replied, the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to speak openly and candidly on the subject of race and to apply the Constitution with eyes open to the unfortunate effects of centuries of racial discrimination. Now, which of those is a true statement, really? So again, with Sarah Palin, when she yells, "We're going to waterboard terrorists," and the NRA cheers, that's all background noise. That doesn't matter. When the Supreme Court continually makes these horrible decisions, whether it be to treat a corporation as a person and allowing unlimited campaign donations, whether it be striking down voter rights laws based on unfound evidence of voter fraud, just so that they can create these barriers to minorities voting, to pretend that they're somehow giving equality with this knocking down affirmative action. Listen, this is the thing about affirmative action, okay? If you're one of those people, "Well, I didn't do anything." Okay, imagine a race. Imagine a 100-yard race, and you got a 40-yard head start, because that's what it is. For 400 years, listen, you got to remember, when we worked our way up from our bootstraps, when your grandfather was building that business, my grandfather wasn't allowed to read, okay? That's the reality. Or my great-grandfather, let's go an extra generation. That's the reality, okay? You talk about no advantages? Well, besides the financial advantage, how about legacy admissions? How do you have legacy admissions? Obviously, that favors white people, because 50 years ago, black people, Latin people, etc., couldn't get into the college. So how would they possibly have a legacy admission? So stop it. Stop pretending to be ignorant. All right? You know that has nothing to do with fairness. It's we're moving backwards. Mitch McConnell, the minority leader in the Senate, somehow thinks he's done a good thing by stopping a vote on raising the minimum wage. And it's the same old argument. It's going to cost jobs, even though that's been disproved almost as much as their argument that dinosaurs wore saddles and were ridden by humans. You can't argue with this kind of logic. You can't argue with this, "If Barack Obama says it, we're voting against it automatically" mentality. The Democrats are going to try to bring this issue up closer to the midterm elections to remind people that it's the Republicans who are against you raising the minimum wage. Raising the minimum wage does not cost jobs. It creates jobs because it gives people money to spend, and these people buy things. Forget about them living above the poverty level. You want to talk from a business standpoint? They have money to buy stuff. If someone making $7 an hour moves their wage up to $10 an hour, okay, that's an extra $100 a week. What are they going to do with that extra $100 a week? They're going to spend it. They're going to buy things. They're going to go places, and they're going to boost the economy. It's horrible. The closed-mindedness and the actual hatefulness in these Republicans is beyond belief. You wish you had that magic wand that could put them in someone else's shoes for 5 minutes, but it's not going to happen. So they once again block the vote simply because it's an Obama policy. It's horrible. I don't know what else to say. I wish I had a joke. I would just love for them to just have to do a day's honest work and let them get a tipping job and find out that, you know something, paying somebody $2 an hour because they make tips might not be fair. How about doing like the minimum wage? 70% of minimum wage would be good for people getting tips. You know, these guys don't want to pay them and probably don't tip. And lastly, and I got to give a shout out to P.J. O'Rourke. If you're not familiar with P.J. O'Rourke, he is a hilarious author, and I've been lucky enough to get to know him personally from doing episodes of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And P.J. is definitely a Republican, but he's not a Tea Party Republican. He's a reasonable Republican, okay? And he wrote a piece. He is mad because his chainsaw doesn't work. He lives in a rural area. He's got a chainsaw. You know, branches fall down over the winter. Trees fall down. You need a chainsaw. And he went to start his chainsaw, and his chainsaw didn't work. You know why? Because there's ethanol in the chainsaw. Ethanol is something they mix with gasoline a form of alcohol. It's a government plan to enrich the corn farmers in the Midwest by making this fuel additive that is horrible for every engine it's put in. I know it from the motorcycle world. PJ just found out from the chainsaw world. Here's the thing. Messing with fuel had to be those Democrats. This happened in 2007. This all happened under Bush. This is all part of a big money grab for big agriculture. And now ethanol is used in Brazil and it's made from sugar. But the truth is that ethanol is just bad fuel. It's more expensive than gas. And it's bad for engines and fuel tanks and so on. So, PJ, I love you. And I am sorry your chainsaw doesn't work. Maybe you want to get an electric one. Maybe Tesla will help you with an alternative fuel chainsaw. Or maybe you can get some guy to cut down the trees if he gets paid a higher minimum wage. Sorry, that wasn't really aimed at you, PJ. That one was for McConnell. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for paying attention. Upcoming gigs. I will be headed to Santa Barbara this weekend. I'm doing a show called Setlist. You can find out the information online at setlist.com. Next week, I will be back in Canada, in Edmonton, at the Edmonton Comedy Club in the world's biggest mall. I got to leave today to walk from one end of that mall to the other. And the following week, I will be down in Knoxville, Tennessee. Okay? I love you guys. Thanks for listening. This is episode 76. Who's paying attention? Me and all the other Clipper fans.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.